am Gary Parrish. Welcome back. This is going to be a Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, honor Brandon Davies. The only way he would respect, you got to smash the like button. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the Eye on College Basketball podcast, please also do that wherever you subscribe to podcasts, listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, places like that. Let's get into it. Since we last talked, the matchups for the 2026 ACC-SEC Challenge have been announced. 16 games. The headliner is as good as it gets. Duke at Florida on Tuesday, December 1st. Right now, that would be a matchup between the teams sitting at number one and number two in the CBS Sports Top 25 and 1 preseason rankings. Florida is number one. Duke is number two. We're going to get to that, I promise. But first, major headline development in college athletics from earlier today that I think, even though it's a college football story, certainly resonates in college basketball. Every sport where, gambling can take place. It reads like this. Texas Tech star Brendan Sorsby, he has been granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA that could clear the way for him to play for the Red Raiders in 2026, even after the transfer quarterback was declared ineligible for wagering on college sports. To help us understand better what led up to this moment and how big of a deal this is, let's bring in Chip Patterson, the star from the Cover 3 of podcasts. That's our college football pod. Chip Patterson, it's good to see you, buddy. I just gave people the basics. You've been following this all along, day after day. For folks who maybe aren't as in tune, explain the Brendan Sorsby story, how we got here, and what this means, not just for college football, but college basketball and college athletics in general.
Sure. Well, when Leaky Black was still wearing a uniform and when Caleb Love was ending Mike Krzyzewski's career, Brendan Sorsby was a backup quarterback at Indiana.
Okay, now I got it. Time frame makes sense. Got it.
I wanted to let you know how much time has passed truly since this began, okay? So when Brendan Sorsby is a backup quarterback at Indiana, he has, like, you know, many young Americans, a little bit of a habit for placing some bets, but it wasn't just some bets because according to court documents, while he was an Indiana quarterback, he placed at least 2,000 bets, including 40 on Indiana football. Now there's a lot of gray area, you know, throughout all the NCAA rules and bylaws, but you cannot bet on an NCAA sanctioned sport is really, really clear. And the idea that you're betting on your own games is incredibly problematic. Okay, so he transfers out of Indiana and he goes to Cincinnati. According to court documents, GP placed more than 100 bets while he was a quarterback at Indiana. He was no longer the backup, just trying to be connected to his team, trying to kill time. No, he was the starting quarterback at Cincinnati. And according to court documents, transferred tens of thousands of dollars to a friend to which he shared a sportsbook account during this time. Prize Picks, no free ads, but this is court documents, alerted the University of Cincinnati to the idea that they might have an athlete who had an active account for theirs and something that the compliance office should look into. University of Cincinnati has not found in its own review anything specifically which would have jeopardized his eligibility. Brendan Sorsby, this past offseason, is one of the highest profile and highest dollar quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Sam Levitt, who went to LSU, would be another one in this conversation. Just some of the biggest names to go from one school to another with the expectation that they would start this year as a starter for a college football playoff contender. In a very, very strange timeline that I don't have dialed down, news became clear of his betting history, and he checks himself into rehab. And on this, I want to be very, very clear. The idea that he is approaching this as a way to get himself better is good. I'm going to say a lot of things are not good.
Hold on. I have this. I think it's from ESPN story earlier this year, Chip. Quote, the NCAA first learned of Sorsby's gambling activity in March and notified Texas Tech on April 14th. Sorsby left Lubbock at the end of April, underwent a 35-day inpatient rehab program in Goodyear, Arizona for diagnosed gambling and anxiety disorders. That can all be true and legitimate and viable. It is still undeniable that the timeline of this is that he got caught and then went to gambling rehab. He was found out, the NCAA learned of it, and then the ball got rolling on this. Continue, Chip.
Yeah, so While this is happening, the NCAA says, well, we've learned of it. We've reviewed it. You cannot bet on NCAA sanctioned sports. Like, forget even the betting on your own team. But you NCAA athletes cannot bet on their sport. It can't happen. I mean, it cannot happen. And thus he begins the fight. He says, you know, the argument that was made for Brendan Sorsby is that he would be prevented from his American right to earn money for his skills if he was deemed ineligible. And in Lubbock County, Texas, we're not the first judge, because the first judge was a Texas Tech alum. He stepped to the side. They had to borrow a judge from Tarrant County, who was actually a Houston grad. The injunction was granted. Now, what does the injunction mean? The injunction says the NCAA cannot rule him ineligible. So NCAA enforcement has been picked apart, left for dead. The buzzards of Lubbock County, Texas have picked apart any kind of strength that they have. Because the message that this sends, and I guess we can unpack this, to me, is that as long as you've got the resources to lawyer up and a decent enough argument, what NCAA rule is enforceable? Because you know what this is different than? This is different than a state district attorney over a transfer eligibility case. Because how many times have we had that over the last 3 to 4 years?
Betty, and in particular, Charles Bediako got an injunction after the NCAA said no, played a few games in Alabama. The NCAA appealed then, as it will appeal this now. We don't know the timeline. It will appeal this, and the NCAA actually won on appeal. But Chip, GP, this is different. That was an interpretation of a rule. This is as clear-cut, black and white as it possibly gets. You are not allowed to gamble on college athletics, particularly in the sport that you are participating in. If you do, you're banned for life. Sorsby did it, and he's going to be made eligible anyway. Keep going, Chip.
Yeah, and so there is within the injunction almost like a gross settlement. Texas Tech says, as part of the injunction, he will not participate in the first two games. Two games!
Abilene Christian, and I think an up-and-coming Oregon State team. It's fresh out of the new Pac-12.
Hey, we love what Jamarcus Shepard's going to have going with the Beavs there in Corvallis. You know, Beaver Fever on Front Street right here as part of this.
Let me ask you, does this mean the offer to buy Texas out of their season opener is now off the table, or will we still do that?
Yeah, I know. Listen, this says they can buy them out of anything, right? I mean, and then another piece of this, which I'm not trying to like speed rush through this, but you know, Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech benefactor, is also pushing a Save College Sports legislation and releasing a statement here on Monday, acting like this ruling is a bad thing. I'm very confused, GP. Very confused.
I'm conflicted on this, like genuinely, just because on one hand, I like it when the NCAA gets slapped around. Like these are usually fun days for me, but this feels different. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like it when the NCAA gets slapped around in court is because it's usually tied to something that is, at least in my head, obviously wrong. And in a judge's mind, also illegal. Right. So it's like, you can't, accept this money. Well, I'll take you to court. And I'm like, I think they should be able to accept that money. So I'm with the player and anti-NCAA on this one. And so the NCAA lost today in a very meaningful way, in a very public way. That's usually a good day for me. But this is a rule. This specific rule is a rule that every sports league has. And if this were Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NFL or the NHL or MLS, we would not even be having a discussion. It's over. You get caught doing these things in those sports, you are done, period. We don't even debate it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's over. You're done. We might debate whether you should still be allowed to get in the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah.
We might have that debate. But we don't debate whether you can keep doing your job. That's over. And so I understand how we got here. It's because a long time ago, somebody figured out, you know, you can just take the NCAA to court and find a judge who will uphold the law. You might win it that way. But if it's not a uphold the law type of thing, if you just get it in front of a favorable judge, a judge who can feel real community
the rules pressure. Are goofy. Just go convince a judge NCAA rules are goofy.
And then I'm not a lawyer or a judge, so I don't want to try to pretend to be one, but I am a human.
He is a doctor.
A doctor.
I am a doctor. I'm just not a lawyer or a judge. I'll get there someday. Give me time. I could understand how you might get to a point where it's like, all right, really all I'm asked to do here is decide whether this young man could be irreparably harmed if I take away his ability, if I allow his ability to play college football, if I allow it to be taken away. I gather he could lose millions of dollars if I allow that to be taken away. In my head, I know it's more complicated than this, but I think it's a very easy conclusion to reach as a judge. Also with the understanding of my home address will be on a Texas Tech message board tonight. If I rule the other way, my life is so much easier if I just let other people handle this down the road and get out of the way. And that's why I wasn't surprised by what happened today. If you take my anti-NCAA hat off and just say, GP, what do you think? If I'm being candid and honest with you, this isn't a NCAA rule that seems obviously wrong or illegal. It seems like a very basic rule that we all agreed on a long time ago. If you bet on your own team, if you bet on your own sport, you're not allowed to be involved anymore. We all agreed on this a long time ago, most famously, I guess, with Pete Rose. The idea that it's even a debate now seems a little crazy. I understand how we got here, but just should he be allowed to play? As a society a long time ago, we decided no. It's odd that we now have people arguing yes.
Yeah, it's obviously no. We're going to dig into more of why that's a no. Let me just get through two statements here. First in the NCAA, and then yes, President Charlie Baker did chime in soon thereafter on Monday morning. The NCAA statement reads, quote, "The NCAA strongly disagrees with the court's ruling in Sorsby's case and is deeply concerned about the damaging, far-reaching, and broadly destabilizing ramifications of this outcome, which undermines and corrupts the integrity of sports. The NCAA is committed to supporting student-athlete mental health, but must continue to aggressively defend against actions that defraud college athletics and threaten competitive integrity, such as betting on one's own sport." End quote. Here's Charlie Baker's statement, quote, "There is no better example of why targeted intervention from Congress is necessary when you have schools and deep-pocketed supporters willing to look the other way on the glaring integrity threat of betting on your own team and judges whose rulings effectively strip away our ability to stop them. Only Congress can equip the NCAA to apply this common sense rule to everyone fairly and consistently. The Protect College Sports Act would empower the NCAA to enforce the rules, including the gambling restrictions. It's needed now more than ever." End quote. To state the obvious, but needs to be stated nonetheless, this feels as close to universal in opposition as I've ever seen from any ruling ever in the history of college sports. And that is because if you have people in your sport that are betting on your sport, betting on their team, I will be clear about this, as Jeffrey Kessler, most recently and notably of the House case acclaim, but he is a big time lawyer who is well compensated for a lot of good reasons because he's super smart and he wins a ton of cases. He represented Sorsby in this case. And so it's no surprise with him on one side of the case that they won. Sorsby never bet in a game that he actually competed in. That should be immaterial to me. When you are betting and gambling on a team that you are involved in, you already induce significant fractures to the foundation of the sport that you have. If you do not have competitive integrity, if the American public or the sporting public does not believe that the competition they are watching is on the up and up and that all athletes and coaches and everyone involved is doing it with the interest of specifically and explicitly to the best of their own mental and physical abilities, winning the outcome of the game, then you lose everything. You lose the entire enterprise. And so that's why one case, such as the Sorsby one, can be just as important as the stuff that happened to do with Pete Rose and why Pete Rose still hasn't been allowed into the Baseball Hall of Fame and all on down the line. I understand if Chris Hassel, our colleague, no doubt has probably found this podcast at some point this week. He and many other sports fans that are from the great state of Iowa are fuming right now because there were dozens of people connected to Iowa and Iowa State, including football players who had gambling activity that was not remotely as egregious as the Sorsby stuff that were nevertheless, what? Banned for life, just a Sorsby by the NCAA, banned for life because you cannot have this. Why doesn't it happen in all those other sports? Because they have collective bargaining agreements, because they have commissioners, because there is outright authority and agreed upon guidelines, regulations, and restrictions within all of those sports. The NCAA does not have that. However, I will say this, guys. I've said on the show before, you might need to burn the house down in order to build something that can, you know, withstand everything coming forward in the decades and to come. This may be it. Like, this really might be the thing. A college player gambling on his own team, admitting to it. I saw in one report, he admitted to $90,000 worth of wagering throughout his college career. Okay. Admitting to it and admitting to it after being caught. Oh, by the way, this might be the thing that actually does give Congress a chance to unite and get some sort of bill passed, because you can't have this. You can't find hardly anyone not associated with Texas Tech University on this Monday, June 8th, 2026, that is speaking in defense of this ruling, because it is indefensible, and it really does threaten the integrity of college sports in a way that I think far exceeds the understandable frustrations and concerns when it comes to roster management and players transferring four times in 5 years and all that NIL has done. That's a separate issue altogether, and I understand why there are some people on one side of the aisle and some people on another side of the aisle. This one is different altogether, and I do wonder if the power and reaction of this story in particular advances us to a place because of how egregious this is. I'll just repeat, though, the NCAA will appeal this and hope that it can win on appeal to not allow Sorsby to play, because that is my opinion, just as it is Sorsby in college football. If you had told me, you know, a top 20 player on a top 10 team in the country next season of college basketball was found to have done the same thing, get him the hell out of here. You can't have this in your sport, because everyone on the show knows there's another Brandon Sorsby out there, be it in college football and college basketball. There are definitely, in the past 3, 4, 5 years, there have been college athletes that have been able to bet on their sports. They might have done it at a much lower level, just never got caught. Once we have evidence of someone that has actually done it, you need to snuff that out and make an example of this, because the precedent that this sends, the message that this sends, is one that can really fracture and potentially like dissolve in a very significant way the actual integrity of your sport. And then what do you become? You become pro wrestling. So that's why there are significant safeguards against this, and why it's such a serious, serious issue, and why we wanted to bring Chip on the show.
Let me make one distinction real quick, and then Chip, please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're going to know the ins and outs of this better than I. But I understand the integrity of the game and all that argument. To be clear, unless I'm wrong, I don't think Sorsby is accused of impacting the integrity of the game. There's no indication that he bet on anything he was actually involved in or bet against his own team, is there?
There is. Correct. That is right. Correct.
So,
but he did bet on Indiana football when he was a member of the Indiana football team, which is obviously still a big...
I heard an argument that was he wanted to feel closer to his team.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all silly.
Yeah. All-timer right there.
Gambling addict who was going to watch a football game and decided he wanted some action on it. That's what this is, all right? He can't do it. That is why he should be permanently ineligible. We all agree here. Let's be clear. We all agree on what the outcome should be. My only point is that there is a distinction between what, say, the Alabama State players who were in the news last week.
Yes.
They allegedly threw a game.
Yeah.
Hey, here's some money for you. Here's some money for you. Make sure you don't cover this. Make sure you lose this game and don't cover this number. All right. That's not what Sorsby is accused of doing. He's accused of violating a very clear rule. The price for that should be permanent ineligibility, but he stopped short. He was closer to doing, and this is why I don't roll my eyes at the whole closer to the team stuff like some people do. I mean, I think that's silly. He's not trying to bond with his teammates, but trying to feel like I'm a part of it. It's not that different than me throwing $100 on a Mets game. Like, you know, I'm a Mets fan. I want the Mets to win. I'm going to watch the Mets tonight anyway. I'll throw some money on the Mets tonight. Like, I have done that before. Similarly, I have never bet against the Mets in my life, ever. I know they don't win every game.
To me, it's about the clear rules, which have that means. Yes. Here's what happens. GP, you're working sideline. You talk to a coach before a game. If you place a single wager on that game and it's discovered, I mean, that's it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there is no go find a friendly correct. Judge to be
yeah,
able
no,
to.
No, no, like, no. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you. Brendan Sorsby should be ineligible, and the reason is because he did something that you're not allowed to do. that he was told over and over again he's not allowed to do, and that he knew he wasn't allowed to do and found ways around it. That you did something you know you weren't supposed to do. You got caught. That's the price. I'm not arguing that.
And
I'm
he
just
can
saying,
still go make money. He can still go to the NFL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even that's, from like the, you know, that kind of perspective, the way that I'm wrestling with
I guess
it.
I've heard some people say, how could Texas Tech be okay with this? Yeah. And I think the reason Texas Tech's okay with this is because they genuinely don't think he was compromising the integrity of anything. He was just, I'm going to watch my football team play. I'll have a little action on it. They have translated this to, he wasn't negatively impacting his team. He wasn't trying to compromise the integrity. He's not a compromised player. He's just a gambling addict who could really throw a football well.
Isn't he a top 10 quarterback in college football? That's why Texas Tech's okay with him. He's their starting quarterback.
Well, that goes without saying.
Playoff with him last year. I know they bring him in. They hope they can make it again with him.
Either I didn't say it clearly or something. Here's what I mean. I think even if he were a top 10 quarterback in college football, if they thought he was betting against Indiana while he was at Indiana or betting against Cincinnati while he was at Cincinnati, I think that's a non-starter. You don't bring somebody into your program who was actively wagering against his teammates, his team. They don't think he was doing that. There's no evidence of doing that. And I think that in addition to he's really good and our quarterback's coming off injury, they can wrap – he didn't do what Jonte Porter did. I guess that's the distinction I'm trying to make. Well, some of these athletes we've seen actually try to compromise the outcome of the game, and he didn't do that. And that's how I think you can wrap your head around we can live with this if we're Texas Tech.
But the issue, I'll just quick comment and Chip, take it away. The problem is it's not a far line between what he was and the Alabama State players. Or you go
but
to
it
the
is a line. It is a line. Not
that far. You go to the Boston College scandal back in the 70s with basketball, Arizona State in the 90s. Once they get you, they get you. And particularly if you're an admitted gambling addict, this idea that, I didn't bet against my team. Well, if you're an addict and you've got this compulsion with this, like it's not that far of a leap whatsoever to get from one place to the next. And so that's why among the many very obvious and clear reasons why this is against the rules in general, it does not take someone that long to make that far of a leap from going, just one bet on my team and I bet them to win, to then eventually you get down the line and suddenly someone knows you're doing it. You get compromised and trust like.
I don't disagree with all that. Any of that. I could tell you like how that would happen. I'm just betting on my team. I'm just betting on my team. It's all good. I'm just betting on my team. Oh God, I'm in the hole more money than I have. How can I make this back? I know because I was in the locker room. Our running back's not playing this weekend. Nobody else knows that. Now I'm going to bet against my team. I'm just got to get out of this hole. Like that's the way it happens. Slippery slope. All that. Yeah. I agree. I'm only trying to distinguish. Yeah, it's not. I agree with you. It's not hard to imagine somebody going from one place to the other. I'm just trying to distinguish. He was in one place and not the other. And that's how I assume Texas Tech is like, we're comfortable with him playing for us. We don't think he's going to throw a game on us. He's never done that in his life.
What do you do if you're Joey McGuire? Joey McGuire is the head coach of Texas Tech. Joey McGuire made his bones as a Texas high school football figure. He was an assistant at Baylor before he got the Texas Tech job. Again, a position because of his connections like all throughout the land. He didn't recruit Brendan Sorsby out of high school because, like we mentioned, Brendan Sorsby started his college career when Leaky Black was still in a Carolina uniform and Caleb Love was ending Mike Krzyzewski's career. So Joey McGuire now has to feel what he's going to do here, which, by the way, Joey McGuire has a quarterback that he did recruit out of high school named Will Hammond, who's going to – they've been rushing back on recovery from a torn ACL, trying to get him ready ever since the Sorsby news broke. So Texas Tech has said a two-game suspension created out of nowhere is going to make all this right in the world. Then in week three, I've got to decide, as Joey McGuire is the leader of this program, what are you doing? Do you just stand by your guy? We've talked to so many coaches.
Okay. the answer is yes. I mean, I think from the basketball side, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, two very different people, but they've kind of told us what you do here. Their job is to win games. They get paid millions of dollars to win games.
Will Wade? I mean, we're waiting on the RJ Lewis played in college basketball. 16 months ago at this point, and he has committed to play for LSU. He's going to need to go to the judge and need to win an injunction in order to make that happen. They'll probably appeal on that and try and win over the same way they did Bediako. Again, these are very different cases, but, and that's probably why the biggest reason why I wanted to bring Chip on, in addition to his obviously institutional college football knowledge, is the Sorsby case has ramifications way beyond college football. They can permeate throughout all of college athletics into college basketball. If this does hold, guys, like what we have here, boil it all down. High profile college athlete gambled, bet on his own team, was caught, not just bet like once, hundreds, thousands of times, close to $90,000, caught. NCAA said you're banned for life. Took it to the court, won, is going to be able to play anyway. It sends an abysmal message and a very damaging one to the credibility of the sport. And I just wonder if this is the issue. Like the Protect College Sports Act, it's had a lot of people line up in favor of it, and they want to tweak some stuff, and maybe it winds up getting over the line. I'm still pessimistic on it, but this is the case.
I don't like Charlie Baker. I'm not trying to go after Chuck like this. I know he's a big fan of the Ion College Basketball Podcast, but like,
we don't know.
I'll tell you who he's a big fan of. I'll tell you. You want to really know inside information? You want to really know who Charlie Baker is a big fan of? Yeah. Post Malone. Because I was at a Post Malone concert with Charlie Baker at the Final Four, and
for him to immediately turn this into a campaign pivot. Post
Malone concert with Charlie Baker. That's true.
I believe it. But for him to immediately turn it into a campaign pitch, I was like, oh, okay. All right. You know, for him to be like, he could have just said like, this is like, you know, very, very bad. He was like, and this is why we need the Protect College Sports Act. I mean, very, very,
I know. I'm not surprised by the way, on the Baker stuff, real quick aside here, title game this year, Monday night, I'm covering it, and it's a TV timeout or whatever. And at some point they play Don't Stop Believing during one of the TV timeouts. I couldn't tell you if it was at the under 16 of the first half or the under 4 of the second. I don't know when. But I'm kind of like, I'm typing, I'm doing what I'm doing, whatever, and it's just ambient noise around me. But like they get to the crescendo of the song. Like, that part of the song. And suddenly, like, just there's been people singing behind me. But then it's this high pitch. And I look around, I look behind me, and it's Charlie Baker.
Okay.
Screaming, and I'm like, okay. Big Journey fan. He's like, absolutely, man. You mean you're gonna tell me I can't sing that? I was like, no, you absolutely can. I just didn't realize the president of the NCAA was sitting 10 feet behind me, belting out like he's Perry behind me. It was wild moment. That's all. So I had to invoke that since you brought up the Post Malone.
This might be a Charlie Baker thing then, I should clarify. I was not with Charlie Baker. I was with my wife and my sons. All right. But Charlie Baker was 5 feet right over there, and he was into Post Malone. He was like, and the vodka and the LaCroix, G-Wagon, G-Wagon, G-Wagon. And I was like, go, Charlie Baker. He loves Post Malone, but he might just love everything.
Hey, listen, we are all music lovers on this podcast.
G-Wagon.
Whatsoever.
Post Charlie Malone. Okay, so one more point for me. Then we can do whatever y'all want to do.
Yeah, we can get
in terms of the messaging, to me, this is the biggest downside of this. And it's a little bit like parenting. Like, you tell your kids, hey, if you do not do whatever the thing you want them to do every day, if you don't do this thing, I will take that iPad away. Like, you can't have that. The second I see you didn't do that thing, then the iPad's mine. All right. And that's sort of the agreement you got in place. These kids ain't doing what you want them to do every day because they just wake up wanting to do it. But they really like their iPads. So this is the negotiation. If you want the iPad, you're going to have to do what you got to do. And if you ever once let them get away with it, that fear is gone. If you ever once, they don't do it, but they kept the iPad, you can't ever bluff them again. Because they'll just be like, hey, you know, he might take the iPad or he might not. So here's where we're at. For years, we have been telling student athletes every 2 weeks, hey, everybody, gather up in the locker room. We're going to talk again about gambling, however often they do it. And we've been telling them, hey, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. If you do this, your college career is over. I know your friends gamble. I know it's on your phone. I know you don't think it's fair. But if you do this and you get caught, it's over. There's no coming back from it. That's been the message for years. And it obviously hasn't worked 100%, but I promise you there are people who have not gambled who otherwise would, who didn't do it because they are scared to death that if they get caught, it's over. So they don't. And now that is not the deterrent that it once was, because now you can run yourself through this playbook. All right. I know I'm not supposed to, but if I get caught, and I probably won't, right. but if I do, I'll just do what that dude did. I'll go to rehab, raise my hand, tell you I'm addicted. Then we'll find a judge and I'll be good to go. So I probably won't. I think the rule's crazy. Who are they to tell me what I can't do? I'm an adult. All right. So I fundamentally have a problem with the rule, but I used to be scared to death. So I followed it. But now there's an example where maybe you don't have to follow it. And even if you get caught, which you probably won't, there's a path to coming back from it. I used to think there wasn't. My coach told me 100 times there's no path back. But Chip Patterson just told me there clearly is. That's a real problem. That is a problem. The scare factor of don't do this or else is gone now. It's gone. Once you eliminate that, there will be more. You ready for this? I there's no way I can prove this now. If there's ever a way to prove it later, I bet you everything I own, we're right. From this day forward, there will be more college athletes gambling than there were in the previous year. And it's going to be because they now see a theoretical path back just in case they're caught. It's not as scary as it used to be because of this case.
I'm scared. I am scared about the burn the house down. I understand the approach of you might need to burn the house down in order to rebuild it for the future. Yep. But I do not think there are stakeholders or benefactors that are on the same page enough for this not to really rip apart a lot of the stuff that we love, you know?
I mean, it already is. I mean, it's just
like Sankey's just laughing at the College Sports Act. And we were even getting into the politics of it, where there are senators who got incumbents who got primaried in their own state who have no political motivation to fall in line, you know? Like getting to 60 in the Senate or even getting close to the House, there's just too much disagreement with what exactly the beginning is. But this is, how about this? This is the end of the NCAA enforcement. That's it. NCAA enforcement.
That's another death, Chip. I mean,
what?
I mean, we've been saying that quarterly now for 9 years. but I hear you. Like, this is a different day.
This is
the last one, though. If you are allowed to gamble, if you're an active NCAA athlete and you can gamble on your own sport and not lose your eligibility, what the F are we doing here? Come on.
That's the thing. Like, there are issues in the NCAA that reasonable minds can disagree on. Should players be allowed to get paid? If so, how much? Should there be caps? How do you feel about transfer waivers? One time? Two times? Unlimited time? We can have conversations about that, debates about that, and you can find two smart people who work in college sports who will intensely disagree on these things. And I will always have a side on most of these things, but I can also usually open my mind up a little bit to understand the other side. And now we're talking. This is one, it's not ever really been a debate. That's why this is such a different day. We have all agreed forever, if you do this, it's over for you. Anybody think that's crazy? I don't remember anybody ever raising their hand and being like, hold up, are we sure we want to permanently ineligible somebody just for betting on college football if they play college football? We all said yes. Every time we were like, yes, you can't do that. It opens too many scary stuff. Just can't. You got to stop it right there. We all agree. Yep. And now we're not there anymore. And that's a real problem.
And he could have entered the NFL supplemental draft at the end of the month. You know, like there were ways that this story went that were not going to lead to huge existential crisis about the future of college sports. You know, but
yeah,
I guess in this case, you know, how about GP? We'll wrap on this. Yeah. You know what this is? Well, when a threat is, you don't get to go play golf with daddy. Oh man, daddy really wants to play golf with his sons. And now I've got to decide how strict I want to be about the threat. You don't get to play golf with daddy. You know?
Right.
I think that's where Texas Tech is right now.
Well, like what you would like in a perfect world, because this could happen. We could just all as a sport, just all decide, like all the coaches, all the administrators, even if this guy can help us, we're just all going to agree we're not enrolling somebody like that. And I know you get into some legal stuff there, but like Texas Tech could have at any point just said, we didn't know what we were getting into. We love this young man. We hope he gets the help he needs, but there are rules. And this is one we don't even really debate. It's unfortunate, but we're going to cut him. They could have done that.
Yeah.
They could have done that, but and everybody could do that. And then this isn't a problem, but it's a little bit like this. I saw this story. I'm not going to have the details right, and then we'll move on. But it was a story, something about Mr. Beast. I'm sure you're familiar with the
North Carolinian.
Okay. So
Greenville, North Carolina.
There was something he did where it was like fill up an arena and said, hey, I got $1 million and I will give it away to the one person who raises their hand. It's yours, but only one person can raise their hand. If two people raise their hand, nobody gets the money. So on the count of 10 or whatever, how'd they do it? It's
if sounds one like person good game stuff to me.
It very much is. And so he says, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 0. And you know what happened? Everybody's hand went up. And it's like, I told you guys.
Nobody get money.
Now you get nothing. It's like, you know, there's $1 million. You know, it's better if just one person, you know, there's a way to have it, but everybody can't.
Yeah.
As long as you are more prioritized with self-interest than you are greater good, this isn't just a college football thing. This is a United States of America thing. If you are just focused on what's best for you with little regard for the greater good, it's usually not a great thing. And so ideally, just Texas Tech and everybody else would just say, we're not enrolling somebody like this. But there's always going to be. There's always going to be a Texas Tech.
Would a background check from Texas Tech have turned this up? Do we only know about this because Cincinnati and Brendan Sorsby got in an NIL fight after his departure? Yeah. You know, it's like, there's many levels.
Here's my point. I think this would be when you talk to people individually, like if you pull coaches aside, like I bet you if you pulled Joey McGuire aside 1 year ago and said, hey, just hypothetical. But like there's a school, they enroll this quarterback, and then they find out he's been gambling like crazy, $90,000, betting on his own team. You think that guy should play college football ever again? I bet if you present that to Joey McGuire a year ago, you know what he says? No, what are we talking about? That's crazy. Yeah. But when it's you, you can't help yourself. Like if you ask Nate Oates, do you think professional basketball, if you ask Nate Oates 4 years ago, do you think professional basketball players should be playing college basketball? Everybody likes to talk about when Nate Oates was a math teacher in high school. If you went to Nate Oates' math class and said, hey, Nate Oates, you're a college basketball fan? He says, yes. Do you think professional basketball players should be playing college basketball? He'd say, no, that's crazy. What are we doing? But that's Nate Oates, the math teacher. If you make it Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, who's making millions of dollars to win basketball games, if he thinks a former professional basketball should be able to play college basketball, he's like, for me? Yeah, I guess. I mean, that against Florida this weekend? Sure.
We need a big. Have you seen how many bigs they got over there?
So, like, that's the thing. That's how we got. We all agree somebody like this shouldn't be playing college football. But there is at least a school that agreed, man, he could throw it, though. And that's where we're at. So here we are.
We don't know when the appeal will come, where it will come, how timely that will be. But it's an important ruling here. He's not 100% going to play college football, but if the appeal is lost, he will. Cover 3 podcast, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Bud Elliott, Danny Cannell. I was told all 4 of you broke this down in lengthy fashion on Monday's edition of the Cover 3 pod. So if you have not already listened or watched, please go find the guys who do a wonderful job covering that sport. YouTube.
They're all Spotify. Dems. Every one of them is a them, far as I know. No, you're all us's. All us's. I had it back. Sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. I did not mean to insult you like that. No. That's on me. I didn't mean to insult you.
I was wrong.
I didn't mean to insult anybody. Everybody over I wanted the Ion College basketball pod. I was wrong. Audience to know. We're not sending you over there with a bunch of thems. Those are us's. Those are us's. So if you want to hear
Are we sure on Cannell?
I think so. I mean, college quarterback, Jesus Christ.
Florida State quarterback in the 90s?
I mean, Jesus Lord. If he's a them, we got to have a conversation.
I think his NFL career might have ended when he got back from his honeymoon. It's something like the training camp when he got back from his honeymoon was when it ended. He was doing great before, you know, so take that for whatever it's worth.
All right, Chip, you go have a wonderful Monday.
I don't want to speak for anybody else, but
on the show.
You better not ever make me the Florida State quarterback.
They won't. They won't. That's easy.
I know Mike Norvell. I might get a roster spot. I still text Mike if I want to, I think.
So Mike 2 years ago gave some of his own money to like the NIL collective. And after the way last season went, they asked him in the offseason, Mike, are you going to be giving again? He's like, no, I will not.
He's like, hey, I know how this is going to end. I'm going to get all my money. I know where this is going. I'm getting all my money on the way out of here. All right, Chip Patterson, bunch of us is over there on the cover three. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for helping us talk through this.
All right, sounds good. Y'all be well.
That sounds good.
Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 pod. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to ACC SEC Challenge. It has been announced since the last time we talked. Oh, the headline game's a good one. Is Norlander going to spend December at the O-Dome? I'll ask him next. All right, Norlander, let's be a little quick on this if we can. The SEC ACC Challenge has been announced. 16 games, five of them are ranked versus ranked matchups, which I love. At least ranked versus ranked, I should say, relative to the top 25 and one. Right now, I've got seven SEC teams in the top 25 and one and five ACC teams. And what those conferences have done, whether by intent or accident, is created five games that are ranked on ranked. They took every single ACC school that's in the top 25 and one and paired it against an SEC school that's in the top 25 and one. So from my perspective, they did this right. And the headliner, as good as it gets, I don't know what it'll look like on December 1st, but on June 8, 2026, it is Florida at number one in the top 25 and one, Duke at number two, and they are scheduled to meet in Gainesville on Tuesday, December 1st. Norlander, remind me, have you ever been to the O-Dome? And either way, do you plan to spend the first day of the last month of the year inside there?
So I have not been to the O-Dome. Been to Florida. My father is a Florida alum, by the way, and this might be the time to get it done. I've been to Florida's campus, but I've never been inside the actual O-Dome, let alone seen a game there. Let's go. Let's make it happen here. This is a return game from a year ago. Remember, Florida almost won at Cameron, 67-66 back on December 2nd of last season. Hauk had 24 in that game. Cam Boozer, a cool, casual, 29 points, only six boards, a couple of assists. Duke won the game there, and that was amid Florida having, you know, a pretty tough non-conference schedule. They couldn't get it done. That was their third loss of the season, and now they run it back, which both of those programs expected that to be the game. It would make sense to return it, and given that both are, you know, preseason top three, top five, however you want to land it, Florida's going to be the preseason number one team. Duke will be 2-3. It'll be four at worst, probably. That's a big time matchup. We're not going to go through all 16 of them here, but to me, there is like a top five and then kind of a significant drop off. We've got every single matchup and some analysis from our Cameron Salerno at CBSSports.com right now on the CBS Sports app. But before we get into the, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on that list there, GP, just another really good matchup. And then also the fact that we have this. Remember, it used to be, of course, the ACC Big Ten Challenge that went away because ESPN no longer is a broadcast rights partner with the Big Ten. And so because of that has the SEC. And so now we get this and we've got it. I'm glad that the concept didn't go away. This is still a very good thing. It always happens in the first week of December or the week after Thanksgiving, that is. And by virtue of this alignment, it's always on campus stuff, which we love to see. So Duke going to play on the road at Florida. Both those teams have monster non-conference schedules, and this one kind of hits right in the thick in the middle of it. We'll get plenty of November stuff to react off of. Duke will be all of, what, GPS, six days, something like that, removed from playing UConn out in Vegas, and then we'll have a couple of more notable ones coming in the weeks leading before Christmas, but this will be a big-time one, and yeah, I'd love to see it. This was a no-brainer. ESPN couldn't mess this up, and thankfully it did not.
It's going to feature these 16-game event in the five games that are ranked on ranked. Relative to the top 25 and one right now, you will have over a span of 2 days the following teams involved. Number one, Florida. Number two, Duke. Number seven, Texas. Number 10, Virginia. Number 12, Arkansas. Number 15, Louisville. Number 17, Kentucky. Number 19, Alabama. Number 21, Miami. Number 24, North Carolina. Some combination of those 10 teams are playing against each other. Again, the headliner, Florida against Duke. Cameron Salerno, like Norlander mentioned, ranked all 16. His first five were the ranked on ranked matchups. And so I'll just run you through them in order. You can give me your thoughts however you like. Duke, Florida, he ranked number one. That goes without saying. It is number one Florida against number two Duke. Tuesday, December 1st. That is going to be at the O-Dome. His second favorite matchup, ACC, SEC challenge, is Louisville at Texas. Also Tuesday, December 1st, inside the Moody Center.
Texas, is it Louisville at Texas or Texas at Louisville?
Texas at the Moody Center.
It's at the Moody Center. Okay.
What I got. So Texas is number 7 in the top 25 and 1. Louisville is number 13. Cameron's third favorite game, SEC, ACC challenge. Arkansas at North Carolina, Tuesday, December 1st, Dean Smith Center. Arkansas is number 12 in the top 25 and 1. North Carolina, number 24. Fourth best game, Alabama at Miami. This one's Wednesday, December 2nd, down in Coral Gables. Alabama's number 19 in the top 25 and 1. Miami is number 21. And the fifth game, according to Cameron, Kentucky at Virginia, Wednesday, December 2nd, John Paul Jones Arena. Kentucky is number 17 in the top 25 and 1. Virginia is number 10.
Those are all really good. Josh is saying ACC website doesn't have it at Louisville, not Texas. So if that is Texas at Louisville, that is definitely the second best matchup. Texas, I think, is a preseason top 10 team. I think Louisville is somewhere, 12 to 18-ish. And so Louisville having that game on its home floor, Texas taking the road trip there, Sean Miller having a Final Four contender, that's really, really spicy and a good matchup. And just nice to see Texas, at least as we are going in to this point. And keep in mind, if Texas football team does what it's expected to do, University could be on quite the high there, because if Texas should be, you know, potentially a top five team in the country next year on the gridiron, they'll be coming out of the regular season, getting ready for the college football playoff. Texas on the hardwood against Louisville and everything that they brought in. That's just a really, really nice matchup. I would agree with that being two.
I have a bone to pick.
Okay.
I've been misled by Wikipedia.
Don't even tell me that you looked up the matchups for this and relied on Wikipedia more than the actual conferences and official releases and CBSSports.com. Did you do that?
That's exactly what I did.
It's user error.
It says Duke, Florida, O'Connell Center, Gainesville, Florida. And then look at this. Louisville, Texas. Look where it says that game's going to be. Can you see that? Moody Center.
Okay.
I've been misled by Wikipedia. Can't trust anything on the internet these days.
Cameron Salerno, I apologize. GP could have just looked up your story and trusted you, but he didn't.
I actually don't think he put dates and locations in his story. I don't know if there's dates and locations.
Texas at Louisville on the site. That's all I can tell you.
So. I don't think there's dates. There's a reason I ended up on Wikipedia.
There's many reasons you end up on Wikipedia, GP. Let's be real.
There are many reasons I end up on Wikipedia. If you ever want to know the last time Purdue went to the Final Four, you can find that on Wikipedia real quick. Wikipedia is usually very reliable. It failed me here.
It did. Arkansas at UNC got it number 3 here. Good one. Arkansas on the road projects as the better team. North Carolina, somewhere in that, depending on how rosy you want to be with it, you know, somewhere 20 to 35. It depends on your outlook there. But Arkansas going on the road, Carolina gets the benefit at home. That's good. Salerno's got Bama at Miami at 4 and Kentucky at Virginia at 5. I might flip those. But Miami could be a top 20 team. Alabama gets Amari Allen back. That's big time. There'll be some NBA picks on the court. Aiden Holloway, we haven't talked about this on the show, but he is going to go into a program that when last we checked in on Aiden Holloway, he got busted for way too much marijuana in his possession at his residence, did not play in the NCAA tournament as a result. And then it became a question of, is he done playing college basketball? Can he return? And not only looks like he's set to return, if he can go, it's this program that he's about to enter into, the second chance program. If he completes it as required, the charges will in fact be dropped. He is expected to be available for the start of next season for the Crimson Tide. And in doing so, Alabama will have a top 25, or at least it should. It pretends to have a top 25 level program next season. Miami really could pop in year two under Jay Lucas. And then Kentucky, Virginia. Oh, by the way, some Kentucky news. They landed Ryan Hampton over the weekend. He is a top 10 prospect in the class of 2027. He will not play next season in Lexington. He is scheduled to play the season after that. But nonetheless, another really good pop for Mark Pope. He's on quite a heater right now. Good for him. As for next season, Kentucky at Virginia, I really like Ryan Odom's team. I think they've actually got top 10 potential. They get the benefit of hosting that game in Seville and bringing in the Wildcats there. So that's a tasty 1-5, GP. Like that SEC-ACC challenge is only a few years old at this point. This feels like the strongest top five, if you will, of matchups that we've had to this point. I'll just run through a couple more here that are decent. Florida State at Tennessee. Could be okay. Auburn at Clemson. Ole Miss at Virginia Tech. And then you get into some weird ones like Syracuse at Oklahoma. It's just going to be weird to see Syracuse play in Oklahoma's building. That's weird to me. Pitt at Missouri. Boston College at Georgia under first-year coach Luke Murray, of course. Wake Forest is going to play LSU, and South Carolina is going to play NC State, which means they intentionally did not schedule LSU and NC State.
No, boo. I don't like that. I don't like it.
See both of the now, not that this could not have been changed. Not that it could not have been changed. LSU will host and NC State will host. Sometimes there's some thorniness in terms of teams and cadences and who was away and who's home. The teams on the lower end sometimes got to play back-to-back roadies. You should have had LSU play at NC State. You didn't do it in year one. You damn well better make sure you get it done in year two. So that was obviously the big miss.
I'll give you some grace because as we close, what I was going to say is that in these challenges, whether it used to be ACC, Big Ten, or whatever.
They're never making Duke play on the road in back-to-back years in these challenges.
I talked to enough associate commissioners over the years to know it's a headache because somebody's like, I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. And then somebody else is like, well, I'll do that, but I'm not doing this. And next thing you know, John Calipari's cussing you out. And then on the other side, Bruce Pearl's cussing you out, however it works, right? And it felt like with this one, the SEC and the ACC just said, hey, let's make the best games we can make for the most part. Yep. But they did fail with the NC State LSU thing. And I assume there's a reason. And the reason might just be LSU said, we don't want Will Wade walking back in there less than a year after leaving. It might just be as simple as that. And they said, okay. But if you're really just trying to, let's make the best events we can make, LSU at NC State would have been an event. It would have been another marquee event that you could have created. I understand, or at least I'm assuming that you had reasons for not doing it, but it's a missed opportunity.
It is. Can we make it happen in year two, please? Someone just mentioned in the chat, did we skip Duke at Florida? No, we talked about Duke at Florida for like 3-4 minutes. It's an awesome, that could be one of the 3 or 4 best non-conference games of the season, particularly because they could easily both be in the top five. We'd love right now for GP's rankings, it's 1-2. Love to get there. That's going to be hard to do. They're going to have to navigate through November and not lose more than a game apiece to even justify that. But on campus, combined with all that and a close game a season ago, and obviously some of the players that were involved in the game last season are going to be played and involved next season. So that's really, 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 really good stuff.
You know, it'd be something.
Two great young coaches.
You know, it'd be something if they just took it and just decided to play it at Minute Maid Park down in Houston.
Wouldn't it?
Duke against Florida, Minute Maid Park in Houston.
Hold on. I got a text on this. Hold on. Here's the text I got over the weekend on that note. This is someone connected to Duke. They say, man, Duke fans hate the venue change, LOL. Don't know why they couldn't have just played it at the Magic or Heat's arena. And then I had to explain, because this going to Minute Maid and playing on a baseball field is one, just so very college basketball. And it also ensures, of course, the most money possible. We're not doing that, fans. Kind of goes back to the thing we started. If everyone operated in the best interest of the sport, basketball, college football, all of it, instead of the best interest for themselves, we wouldn't have so many of the problems that we have. That's not how this works. That's not how the world works. It's a really sad state of affairs, but it's nonetheless true all the same. People often don't operate in the benefit and for the interest of the greater good. It's for themselves. And so then you find yourselves looking up 4 days before Christmas and you're about to tip off where the Miami Marlins play baseball.
Opposite Patrick Mahomes.
Opposite Patrick Mahomes.
It's so funny.
That is correct.
Let's call that a show. I've had enough. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry Teagle. He's a legend. Hunk Larnell, Hormuz. A bunch of Hormuz headlines from the weekend.
I'm aware.
A lot going on. Man, if you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That needs to be reflected in the comments. So please do that. And we will talk to you again later on this week. Till then, take care.
Paramount Podcasts.